This is June 15th, 2015.
Thank you. I didn't just turn that off, did I? Good evening, Bodhisattvas.
Good evening.
This evening, I'd like to start with a koan that's familiar to many of you, and maybe not to someone. And I'd like to spend a little bit of time with this koan and look into it together. Muse with you about some, and then bring in some themes that emerge from the Western Dharma Teachers Conference that I attended last week. Things that are on my mind about what we do together here, what we're about. So the story is Dongshan's mending. So I'll just read it and then we can kind of wander through it together. Shenshan was mending clothes with a needle and thread. Dongshan asked, "What are you doing?" Shenshan said, "Mending." "Dongshan, how are you mending?" Shenshan, "One stitch is like the next." Dongshan, "We've been traveling together for 20 years now, and you can still say such a thing. How can this be?" Shenshan, "How do you mend?" Dongshan, "As if the whole earth were spewing flames." So we meet Shenshan and Dongshan, who've been traveling together for 20 years. And some of us have been traveling together almost that long, and others for not quite so long. But traveling together for them, you know, was mostly walking, yeah? Walking in the rain, walking in the heat, walking in the cold, walking when you're tired, walking when you're hungry, or walking on a beautiful late spring morning when the birds are singing. And walking at night, I'm sure, sometimes. In all the weathers, in all the moods, in all the states, walking when you're sick. And surely they sometimes, you know, maybe occasionally had thoughts and opinions about each other. You think? Maybe over 20 years. You know, about each other's style, you know, little habits, abilities, the class they're from. You can only, I can only imagine that lots of thoughts came up about each other in walking together for on the roads for 20 years, sitting in the still halls, talking and not talking. And so here they are, these two. And Shenshan is mending clothes, which, you know, had to be something he did fairly often, going down to, you know, Walmart for replacements. So, mending. It's such a word. To me, mending has a lot of associations. Especially, I think, you know, maybe especially as a woman, actually. You know, my mother's big old mending basket. I don't know if anybody has a mending basket anymore. But my mother always had a mending basket, and it was usually pretty full. And some things would sort of fall by the wayside, and others would get mended. But there was mending to do, and I had to learn how to mend things as a child. Yeah, how do you mend different kinds of seams, and what kinds of stitches do you use for different needs? Mending. So these guys, and my father, actually, my father did, sometimes when the things sat in the basket long enough, my father would just do his own mending. And I think he enjoyed it. He knew how to sew. He made sails for his boats. He made himself a pair of pants once. So like these guys, you know, my dad knew how to wield a needle and thread. And then when we think about the world and sometimes we mend relationships, don't we? You know, we mend something that's gotten torn or strained. And there's mending to do in the world that we're keenly aware of right now. So here's Shenshan, mending clothes. Now, clearly, if Dongshan walks up to him, he probably knows what he's doing, right? They've been traveling together for 20 years. He knows what it looks like when Shenshan is mending. So, it's interesting then, he asks, "What are you doing?" And to me, it's an interesting. He doesn't ask, "How are you?" He doesn't ask, "How's it going?" You know, he doesn't ask, "What are you thinking about?" There's a kind of directness and intimacy of the invitation, isn't there? What are you doing? I can picture a little myself as a kid or another kid. That's a kind of a question a kid asks, right? Come into the room, what are you doing? There's something just kind of simple and direct about it. What are you doing? And if you picture that it's pretty, you know, they're spending a lot of time in not very social situations, right? On the road, going from monastery to monastery. I can sort of feel that question. To me, it feels like that question, "What are you doing?" kind of lands in a spacious kind of silence. Yeah? What are you doing? And Shenshan engages just as simply, doesn't he? Mending. Doesn't sort of add any sort of extra, you know, commentary to it. He just says mending. Doesn't say, you know, "Ah, these pants are still worn out. I don't know what I'm going to do. I really need need some new ones, but, you know, we can't get new pants. I mean, there's just no like, extra nothing added there yet. If someone hadn't left that fence broken, I might not have torn my pants. I mean, there's just, you know, there's no story added. Mending. So again, there's this, the way it strikes me anyway, is that from Dongshan there's this kind of unvarnished interest. He's really entering into the space of what Shenshan's doing, isn't he? And Shenshan is, in a way, admitting him. Yeah? Mending. To me, it feels like that kind of movement of, in a way, we could call it host and guest, couldn't we? There's a kind of a coming and going and an entering and joining that I feel there. So, what might your answer be if you think about your day? If your friend or someone, what's that like for you? If someone says, "What are you doing?" Yeah. So then the conversation goes on a little bit. Yeah. How are you mending? Again, it's kind of an interesting question, isn't it? It's not like, what's your opinion about mending so much, yeah? But there's a feeling of kind of say something about mending. There's an invitation there. How are you mending? How are you mending? To me, there's a feeling also of kind of, what's that like? What's mending like? But there's also a lovely kind of uncertainty about the question for me. How are you mending? It's kind of a wide open question if I consider that someone's asking me, yeah? How are you mending? I have to sort of see how the question lands for me. How am I mending? What is mending? And what's my, in a way, what's my relationship with mending? So I could even feel a little bit of an edge of an invitation to look deeper. You know, if this is my friend, my practice buddy, asking me, my spiritual friend, asking me this question, then, and we, our job together is to wake up together. Our job, our what we're about, our endeavor, our game, is enlightenment. Yeah? So, I think I'm going to take that question as an invitation to inquiry for myself. Yeah? How am I mending? To maybe, from that mirroring in a way, the question is offering me a kind of mirror. Yeah? If I look in this mirror of how are you mending, what might I see in that kind of dark mirror that I haven't seen before? And you don't have to, you'll have your own, you know, sense of that question and where it would land for you. I'm just sort of sharing with you what it brings up for me, that kind of question. How are you mending? And to me, I find it quite a touching question. You know, I'm teaching a child. How are you? How are you teaching? Yeah. When Gary Snyder was here, actually at dinner, he asked me such a question, like about the work that I had done at Vimy. He said, what did you teach them? That was a little bit like this question for me. What did you teach them? How were you teaching? Yeah, a little bit different, but it landed with that, oh, that's a good question. Yeah, that's a good question to ask. An invitation to look deeply. So, and here's Shen Shen answering, one stitch is like the next. One stitch is like the next. Again, I felt a kind of a beautiful trust of relationship in that, because he's answering, isn't he? He's saying, this is what it's like. One stitch is like the next. That's what it's like right now. And I can feel that. I know that feeling, you know? One stitch is like the next. I'm mowing down this way and then I'm turning and mowing back this way. Anyway. One stitch is like the next. And there's, to me, there's also a kind of, he's expressing, if I imagine myself as Sheng Shan, when I answer that way, I also feel a kind of trust of the process. Yeah? One stitch is like the next. This is how I do it. The mending. Right now, I'm, you know, clicking the button to send a letter to my congressman. Right now, I'm seeing what's for dinner, you know. And then there's a turn here in the story. There's a little bit of an energy change, isn't there? Because because Dongshan says, how could this be? You know, after we've been traveling for 20 years and you say it like that, and you can still say such a thing, how could this be? There's some energy in that, isn't there? And it would be pretty easy to take it as a... Well, I don't know about you, but I noticed that it's easy for me to get a story going about, at that point, about what's going on here in their friendship. Yeah? Are you weird? What do you mean one stitch is like the next? We can take that as a challenge. Yeah? And Shenshan doesn't seem to close in around it, does he? He says, well, how do you mend? How do you mend? So again, there's a kind of it feels like a kind of openness in the relationship where he doesn't, there's a kind of freedom that I feel in that response, yeah? He might have his own, might very well have his own feelings about having had the, you know, that kind of strong speech coming in, yeah? And there's a kind of way that he receives it that seems really interesting to me. How do you mend? And Dongshan says, I stitch as if the whole earth is on fire, is in flames. As if the whole earth were spewing flames. As if the whole earth were spewing flames. And I don't know how that lands for you. To stitch as if the whole earth were spewing flames. But I sure can feel how that feels for me sometimes. That sense that, yes, I am taking one stitch and another stitch and another stitch. And either, you know, sometimes it might just be in, wow, my life is in flames. You know, everything is going up in flames. And sometimes it might be life itself is up in flames. And what I noticed in encountering this again, now, this time, after many other times, was this sense of, you know that phrase that Joan uses of putting my broken heart against the broken heart of the world? That in the conversation between the two of them, there's a way that this is how it is for me, and this is how it is for me, are suddenly just next to each other. And there's power there for awakening. This is how it is for me. This is how it is for me. How do you mend? So we could go for who's right and who's wrong, but that's not very interesting, is it? I mean, that would just kind of be a, yeah, so what? To me, it's much more interesting to just feel the aliveness of this kind of spiritual friendship, where we get to really ask each other, what is it like for you living right now? In your life, in this place, doing this thing that you're doing. Opening hearts to each other. And here we are in this Sangha, sitting together often in our large group and in small connections with the things that we do together. In a time of crisis in the world, crises in our individual lives, and also in a time of complete ordinariness. Yeah? We come down here, we open the squeaky door, we take off our shoes, we grab the cushions, we sit down. So the conference, I'm going to shift gears a little bit here and then hopefully make a connection that makes sense. So the conference I attended last week was a meeting of a little under 200 Buddhist teachers from a lot of different places in America and Europe, and some were people who were from Taiwan and Southeast Asia, but who were mostly practicing in the West, meaning of Western Dharma teachers. And there was a mixture of ages and ethnicity, male and female, and traditions that we were from, and some monastics and some lay people. So the organizers had made a lot of effort for this gathering to be as diverse as they could get it. And it was quite diverse. That was impressive. And the and the themes for the conference were about on the first day about different ways of and our ways of bringing what we have learned as teachers, the ways that we've inherited, forward, and how do we work with those in changing contexts. And then, that's what I forgot to bring. Maybe I didn't. And then on the second day, a whole day about diversity and about the challenges of learning to be genuinely inclusive. You know, it's one thing to say we're inclusive, but what are the things that we do that we're not aware of that are not inclusive, that are not inviting? And that went for sexual orientation, for gender, for age, for ethnicity, and especially for race in the context of America. And there was a lot about the subtle ways in which Buddhist communities can be excluding unconsciously and without taking the trouble to become conscious about it. Just saying, well, the Dharma's for everybody, we welcome everybody, doesn't cut it. And then we had another full day that was to do with climate change and then also the secular mindfulness movement separately, and then in the afternoon kind of bringing those together. So there was a willingness in this conference and a determination to engage with the really difficult matters of our time, some of the most difficult and central matters of our time, in this group that included, although we were all coming from a Buddhist tradition, that included a lot of differences. And I'm hoping over time to be able to really fill you in quite a bit about what I think came out of it. But for tonight, I wanted to really focus on what seemed to me one of the most powerful things, which was in the face of the difficulties that are so daunting to us, difficulties of war and peace, difficulties of trying to understand the cross differences and difficulties of facing the, you know, fairly imminent extinction of our species and many dragging many others with us, there was something really, really important about being face to face with each other and learning how to ask those questions and to respond in the field of openness, in a field. So how to invite each other's presence and ask those questions. What are you doing? How do you do it? Yeah? And to answer real answers. That is a really key element of how we go forward in the practice, in the not excluding and not ignoring the largeness of what is. And that way, what one of the key things seems to be, key things about being able to go forward, seems to be the ways that we, the Dharma friendship, the ways that we both honor and love each other and challenge each other. You know, let ourselves go to the place of, well, why do you do it that way? Yeah? And I wonder why I do it the way I do it. Yeah? So that we can allow the things that usually hang out more in the dark to come forth with what they have to offer to the situation. Because with what we already know and the habits that we already have, we're not making very much headway. Right? Would you agree with that? With the sort of, when we continue to try the tried and true, in the context of these really difficult problems of today, I think, I feel at least this kind of frustrating tendency to come to the same impasse again and again and again. So what if we help each other bring in what we don't already know we have? What if we consider the possibility that we already have what we need, but it's in the part that we're not looking at, the part that we're dismissing? What if we're dismissing the very parts of ourselves and each other that we most need in order to address the difficulties of this life right now? And what if in our way, in our skill sets, if the skill sets that are handed down to us, we have these wonderful tools of meeting each other in the Dharma, of inquiry, that our koans represent to us over and over and over again? How to meet intimately this matter right now. Is this making any sense to you guys at all? I'm seeing this kind of a fatigue on your faces. It's making sense? Okay. So this is what I hope we can do more and more exploring with. How do we actually companion each other in these hard times? How do we bring this way of inquiry a little more deeply, a little more intimately with each other? Are we willing to trust each other as companions on the way? The way these old guys on the road trusted each other. So, the thing that I find so beautiful each time we meet, together and each time we meet individually, is the powerful beauty of everything that each one of us brings to this. You know, I sit down with you and I meet a world, you know, I meet a universe, and I meet it with the one that I bring to it, and we are both this universe expressing itself right here. This is the shout of the actual body. And here it is, and it has this enormous power and beauty, and it's refreshing and it's invigorating. I'm very grateful for it, for the power of this thing that we get to do together. Thank you. There's time for conversation.
Sarah, I understand your message, but it's, you know, people keep saying things over and over and over again, let's do this, let's do that, let's do this, and people even say, this really bothers me, what you're saying is just not, or what you're doing is just against blah, 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 whatever it is. And you're not sensing, you know, how I feel or think about something. But the way I see it is people just don't listen.
Don't listen?
They don't listen. Mm. They just, oh yeah, 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 I've heard it all before. Uh-huh, sure. Okay. Mm. And they're just not listening and going, well, what makes you say something like that? How do you get that feeling from me, whatever it is?
So how do you practice with that? How do you meet that? How does your practice help?
That's what people, you know, need to ask. You know, how can we better make ourselves heard? Because rioting and yelling and screaming and shooting is not the way. Mm.
So what's the power... What do you think you bring to the situation with this skill set, with this practice, that is a kind of an offering?
Well,
of
it's
your own?
Well, yeah. When I see someone that's or sense a situation that's really overheated and almost out of control. Instead of trying to say you're wrong or stop it or, you know, this isn't the way or, you know, try to condemn it, I just say, I see you're having a real hard time with this. I see you're having a real hard time. Mm-hmm. Are you having a hard day or what's bothering you?
What's bothering you? So you find a way you could ask a question, huh?
Yeah, just, you know, I just sense you're having a hard day. Mm-hmm. In other words, you're validating the person. Mm.
What do you find yourself wanting to ask? What's the most open kind of question that you might ask someone in that situation?
Well, sometimes you can open a whole can of worms if you say, what's really bothering you? But I just always, I don't ask, I just make an offering. I just, is there anything I can do to help? Or is there anything I can do to assist?
Uh-huh. Is there anything I can do to help?
Because I see you're having a rough time.
And what do you find rising in you inside in the presence of this situation? What's it like for you in that situation?
Well, I was raised with people who just slammed you, you know, if you opened your mouth or made a peep or got upset about anything. And I just, when I'm able to do that with somebody, they always do a really big sigh. Mm-hmm. Oh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sure. So then how does that feel for you?
And it feels great.
It feels really good to you.
Right, mm-hmm. Because it's like we're washing each other.
We're washing each other.
Uh-huh. Washing each other with our understanding and our dissipation of the problem.
That's interesting. So that's a cooling of the fire. You feel there's more water, more life, more possibility, more generosity or something. Anyway, I don't have to pile extra words on it. You said it's like we're washing each other. It's beautiful. Yeah.
Because I've noticed the other way, it just puts up a wall and they get really defensive. Mm-hmm. And you just don't get anywhere. Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? No.
It can be really daunting of a task to come together with someone that's maybe perhaps speaking out of ignorance or inflammatory or whatever, and I tend to avoid those situations. But I'm trying to be more open, especially since there's a lot of people that I care about that happen to be from different mindsets than myself. So I try to meet them by seeing their perspective, mm-hmm. being open to what is their reality, and then offering my own experience to them. Mm. But it's hard. Sometimes. Someone had mentioned meeting the world with curiosity. That's something that I try to remember in such situations.
To really wonder, to notice what you really do wonder about them, genuinely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. About what they're saying, about their experience. Mm-hmm. And start there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we can offer that same curiosity to ourselves, yeah? What is this reaction I'm having while that person's speaking?
Yeah.
Who is feeling this anger rise up? Who is feeling this fear? Where is it coming from? Anyway, just to be curious about it, what is this? What is this like for me?
It's like I was talking to someone who's very mentally ill, and they were explaining a hallucination that they had to me and got very, very upset about it. And they said, "You just don't understand. You're not understanding me. You're just not understanding. You don't understand." And I said, "I don't understand. I have never been in that situation. But what I understand is it makes you very upset. So let's..." And that's the part of the Zen part is, so let's talk about that right here, right now. Mm-hmm. It makes you very upset. You're getting very upset, so. Mm-hmm. Instead of well, where does this come from? And, you know, who made you in it? Well, right now, you're very upset, so let's deal with that right this minute.
Well, one of the things that was interesting to me at the conference was that there are a lot of people who are exploring skillful means for us and who are teaching. There's something called a diamond approach, which is a kind of an approach, I guess, to dialogue. And then there's there are people who are teaching what they're calling insight dialogue, and a lot of people in the mindfulness movement are working with different ways of helping each other, helping ourselves learn actually the skills of this kind of interaction. Some of those seem quite interesting to me. And I thought that, you know, it's if you don't know what to do in a situation, well, we can explore that. We can get information about what helps open something up, what helps create a really rich field for exploring things together. And that seemed worthwhile.
It seems a bit like a postmodernist approach where you are open to the other person's perception as being their reality and being open and curious about that instead of making judgment or or trying to think against it. But just being open that that's what is real for them and honoring and respecting that.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that came out very strongly, and I'm seeing it a lot now also online, I don't know if it's synchronicity or just the time, was that in a lot of the discussion of white privilege, one thing that's brought up is instead of asking the person who's hurt to instruct you, you know, how to fix it. Mm-hmm. Don't, it's not really fair to sort of lay it on them and say, well, you fix me then, right? But that instead we need to do our own hard work, our own internal work to bring to consciousness the stuff that we're doing that's unconscious. And I thought that was really an important point. So the other part of inquiry, even when you're in relationship with somebody, is that inquiry into myself, right? What kinds of... So they had us do an exercise, actually. It was quite interesting, where they had us in dyads, in pairs. And each of us was to say to the other person three things that were assumptions that we had about them, based on just somebody we'd never known, but just based on looking at them. Three things I noticed that I assume about you. And then have the other person reflect how it felt to them to hear those things. That was really interesting. Mm-hmm. Because it was about noticing my own assumptions. Mm-hmm. And then actually getting feedback from somebody about how that landed to them to hear it. And it's just the positive ones are just as unsettling as the, you know, the possibly negative ones, yeah? Mm-hmm. So I think that there are some skillful means available.
Right. So we're kind of getting to that time.
Yes.
So we'll have to close up here soon. Seems like a good ongoing conversation, so if you'd like